This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Brothers and sisters, we had a very big storm in America yesterday. It came all the way down from the south and came to where we are in Connecticut. And the result of that storm was that we have been out of power, electricity, for now over 48 hours. The benefit of being out of power for 48 hours is that I am recording these lessons. The benefit of being out of power for 48 hours is that I have been now recording these lessons in the house of a dear friend of ours, Dr. Shaukat Mateen. And alhamdulillah, we have some new locations with lots of lovely flowers. Dr. Shaukat and his wife are avid gardeners, as you can see, and I'm trying to take advantage of their effort for us to share that beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lesson today of Living Islam, the message continues to be the same. It is the same message in everything that I try to practice, I try to advise, I try to teach. And that is to live by what we profess. If there is a credibility falls through the gap between talk and walk, this is true for religion, this is true for character, this is true in leadership. Everything is interlinked. They're not stand alone by themselves. And so, therefore, it is essential that we walk our talk. If we want to have credibility, if we want to be believed, if we want to have people who listen to us, who are influenced by us, then we cannot afford to say something and do something else and take the view that, well, just listen to what I have to say to you, pay attention to that, and don't worry about practicing it. I mean, this doesn't work, right? This absolutely doesn't work. To say or do something, then we have to also practice it. Now, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the lessons from Living Islam. And we are looking at, therefore, what is it that we need to do in order to practice our religion. And we are following the kitab, the book, which is called Living Islam, which I compiled in order for us to be able to learn these things and to teach and learn and practice these in our lives. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, which is in Sunan Abi Dawood, he said, people will soon summon one another to attack you, as people when eating invite others to share in the food. So let me repeat that. Rasulullah said, a time will come on you when people, meaning your enemies, will call each other. They will summon each other to attack you. And he gave an example and he said, that is like people invite each other to share in a meal. So somebody asked, will that be because of our small numbers at the time, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah said, no, you will be numerous. Your numbers will be huge. You will be numerous. at that time. But you will be froth and scum like that carried down by a torrent of water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the fear of the breast, the hearts of your enemy. And He will cast al-wahan into your hearts. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked him, the Sahaba, because they were used to being small in number, yet being highly powerful, influential. They were used to being small in number, yet they were the rulers. They were used to being small in number, yet they were people who were role models for the rest of the world. So they said, this is a strange thing. People are inviting each other to come and attack us. So obviously, maybe that's because we would have dwindled, our numbers would have dwindled to very few. And that is the reason why people feel brave enough to attack us. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to their astonishment, he says, no, that's not the reason. He says, that is not the reason. You will be numerous. You will be far more than what you are in number today. Just think about that. If you look at the numbers of Muslims in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's go to his last day when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. People have made various estimates of the number of people who prayed his Salatul Janazah, and they said roughly about maybe 100,000 people or 120,000 people. If you go a little bit, less than a year before that, in his the Hajj that he did, which we call Hajjatul Wada, that's the only Hajj he did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say that the number of Muslims who were with him in the Hajj was around 125,000 people. Now, give or take a few more, people who could not come for that Hajj, or people who could not come to participate in the funeral Salatul Janazah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people who were in different other place, very, very eminent people, Abu Muslim al-Qawlani, rahmatullahi alayhi, for example, and others, who were in Yemen, but who could not come to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why, even though they were the contemporaries of Sahaba, Awais al-Qarni, for example, rahmatullahi alayhi, they were the contemporaries of Sahaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew about them. I will tell you something that he said about Awais al-Qarni, and also something we know about Abu Muslim al-Qawlani, both of whom came to Medina after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. But during his lifetime, they could not come for various reasons. So they were there. I mean, these people were there, but they could not participate in either of these great events. So give or take a few more. We are talking about, I can probably safely say that we are talking about less than 200,000, 2 lakhs Muslims in the whole world at the time, 7th century. We are getting close to 2 billion. Where is 200,000 and where is 2 billion? Now, 1.5 billion is, sort of an accepted figure, and maybe more. So I'm just trying to kind of round off figures. So I'm saying, where is 200,000 and where is 2 billion, or close to 2 billion, 1.5 billion, right? Now, despite that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that a time will come on you when you will be huge in numbers, very numerous, but people, your enemies, will have no fear of you, and your enemies will invite each other to destroy you, to kill you, to attack you, just like people invite each other to eat from a plate, to eat a meal. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, if we are that many, why will we have be like the foam which is carried on the surface of a flood? I don't know how many of you have seen floodwaters. I've had the opportunity to see them a few times in my life. And that's a beautiful description of the flotsam, which is called, which comes on top of the flood. Because when the flood waters come, the first part of the flood is flowing through a dry stream bed or river bed. And this dry stream bed or river bed has collected dry leaves and twigs and all kinds of stuff. And when the flood water comes, the flood water just takes it and goes. And because the flood water is so huge and it is so powerful, obviously none of that, I mean, dry leaves can't withstand the force of the flood waters. So everything is just floating on top of that flood water, and it's gone. It just goes. Now this is a beautiful example that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, which is that no matter how big that foam looks, no matter how, you know, massive, absolutely no weight. Now if you those of you who speak, I mean, even in English, we have this, meaning, another meaning of weight. We say the weightage to something. When we are doing some kind of critical analysis, we say, what is the weightage to that you give to each of these factors? Here are the five factors related to the subject that we are talking about. What is the weightage that you are giving to each of these factors? So this is a common term that we use even in English, but this term is very commonly used in our other languages, in Arabic, in Urdu, in Farsi, and so on. Weight of something, wazan of something, means its worth. It means its value. It means the degree to which that thing, you know, again, carries weight, right? The degree to which that thing is significant. Even though your volume will be huge, your weight will be nothing. Think about this. This is an aside, but I think it's an important thing, inshallah. When we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say will happen? What will be set up? A weighing balance or a counting machine? What will we be assessed on? The value, the significance, the weight, the worth of our deeds, or the number of our deeds? Will they be counting the number of salawat? May Allah forgive us if they count the number of salawat also, we are lost. Yeah, because how much do we pray anyway? But the point is that what will be counted? The number of prayers or the weight of the prayer, the value of that prayer, the degree to which that prayer was something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our prayers and accept our salawat and accept our dhikr by making it, by enhancing it, by making it equal to what is acceptable to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and not to count it with justice, but to count it with His mercy and His forgiveness, inshallah. So weight is a very significant thing. That weight means that something which has value, which has significance. And here, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that your weight will be zero. Your weight will be nothing. Numbers, who cares? Who cares? Because numbers don't mean anything. I mean, numbers do not mean anything at all. What means, what has value, what has meaning, is the weightage of something. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that then the Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will happen because Allah will take away your fear from the hearts of your enemies. Your enemies will no longer fear you. You know, Sun Tzu, you must read this book called The Art of War. And Sun Tzu says that the greatest general is the one who never fights, who never actually goes into battle. Now, how does he manage to do that? He manages to do that because of what something else he does, which is, call it propaganda, call it his PR, you know, call it whatever you like, now, because of which fear is cast into the hearts of his enemies. So they think twice before attacking that general. So Sun Tzu says this, you know, very, and it's a book written by the great philosopher Sun Tzu, and of course, obviously, it's translated into English, and that's how I read it. But it's very well worth reading from a leadership context. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will remove this from the hearts of people. And He will cast Wahan into your hearts. And someone asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is Al-Wahan? He said, Hubbu Dunya wa Karahiyatul Maut. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this Wahan is Hubbu Dunya wa Karahiyatul Maut. He said, it is the love of the world and it is the dislike or fear of death. Dislike of death. Right? Now, my brothers and sisters, let me repeat this hadith completely without any interruptions first. Prophet ﷺ said, the people will soon summon one another to attack you as people do when they are eating. When they are eating, they invite others to share their food. Someone asked, will that be because of our small numbers at that time? He replied, no, you will be numerous at that time, but you will be froth and scum like that carried down by a torrent of water. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will take the fear of you from the breasts, the hearts of your enemy, and He will cast Al-Wahan into your hearts. Someone asked him, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is Al-Wahan? And he replied, love of the world and dislike of death. And this is in Sunan Abi Dawud. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this beautiful deen for us to understand it and to practice it. Now, think about this. Today, one of the things that this COVID has really highlighted, subhanAllah, I mean, it is such an amazing thing. The more I reflect on this COVID, the more I see how this is such a blessing for the Muslims, for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a huge blessing for us if we only see it in the right perspective. I'm not saying, when I say blessing, I'm not saying you ask for it, no. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this from the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure the sickness of all those who are affected by it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all those who are not affected by it. And we ask Allah to relieve us. But we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn the lessons from this amazing thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us. Now, brothers and sisters, just reflect on the fact that when history is written, and if anyone bothers to write about the generation that saw COVID, your and my name will be written in that. We are the generation which saw COVID. We are the generation which were affected by COVID, some of us who died of COVID, and nobody else has this, within quotes, distinction. Right? Now you might say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want that. No, it's not a question of what you want or what you don't want. The question is what Allah has written. What are you going to do with that? Right? What are you going to do with that? And what is written is written. What we are going to do with it is given into our hands. Now we can choose to moan and groan and complain and so on and so forth and learn nothing from it. Or we can choose to learn some of the most valuable life lessons that we can possibly learn. And one of those most valuable life lessons is like a slap in the face. Just go look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself. Truly ask yourself, because Allah knows the truth of that answer. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to respond to anybody. You don't have to answer anybody else about that. It's for yourself. Stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself, are you ready to die? Again, when I'm saying, if you say the answer, I don't fear COVID, I'm not saying throw away your mask, stop washing your hands, and that would be stupid. That would be completely stupid. For example, if I ask you, and I'll tell you why that is so stupid. Because if I ask you, are you afraid of dying in a car accident? Which idiot will say no? Of course, we are all afraid of dying in a car accident. But does that prevent us from driving? No. We take precautions. We drive sensibly. We don't drive like maniacs. We follow the rules. We wear seat belts. So we take all the precautions. And we drive. And alhamdulillah, even though the number of people who die in car crashes is enormous, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us, and He has protected us. So when I'm asking you, go look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you afraid of dying of COVID? I'm not saying don't take precautions. By all means, take all your precautions. But ask yourself, are you living normally? What happened? I'm not ready to die now. I mean, how many times have you heard this? I have heard this statement, and I've heard this statement. Actually, it makes me so sad when a Muslim says this, I am not ready to die. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You are not ready to meet Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't give me I'm constrained sometimes about the words that I would like to use. Don't give me that spiel about saying, oh, you know, but I have not really done anything good until now. Well, I've got two questions. First of all, why not? Why not? You live 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you didn't do anything good, why not? So stop fooling yourself, stop doing this. In Urdu we have this, Hyderabadi we say, motabari. Yeah, motabari chodo. Kisko goli, Allah goli de rahe. Bhaiyan ke baata mat karo. Seriously. मैं कोई भी चीज़ नहीं कर रहा, अल्लाह को दिखाई क्यों नहीं करे? कौन कौन आपको ना को करो बोला था? 60 साल जिए झक मारे क्या करे? I didn't do anything. Who told you not to do anything? Who stopped you? Hey? So first and foremost, forget all this nonsensical rubbish. Second thing is, since when have you imagined that even if you live for 6,000 years, that you are ever going to do something which is worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance? I didn't do anything, it's true. So, that is why Allah is merciful. That is why I have hope in Allah's mercy. That is why I have hope in Allah's forgiveness. Am I going to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, hold on, listen to this one, right? Now I have done this great thing, which I think is worthy of you. You can't possibly refuse that. So here is my gift to you, so give me Jannah. Are you going to say that? There is a story of somebody who tried to say that. Rasulullah said that there was a man in the people of the, among the people of the past, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this man was a pious man, so he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Allah, make everything easy for me. Right, give me where I am sitting, give me my food and my rizq and everything else. Please make it easy and give me the ability to worship you continuously without any interruption. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this possible for him. Allah gave him whatever he needed. Allah gave him good health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed him from everything else. And this man worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very sincerely and beautifully and in a very pious manner for 500 years. And then he died. So Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when this man goes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him because he has done all this work. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, go into Jannah with my mercy. The man said, Ya Allah, I worshipped you for 500 years. So I want to go into Jannah, but based on my effort. So I want you to give me Jannah because you are just, with your justice, not with your mercy. Now you might say, well, you know, that's a very stupid thing to say, but human beings are stupid. So what do you do? So this man makes this statement. And how did I come here? I came here by saying that if you stand in front of the mirror and if you ask yourself, am I ready to die? And if you are saying to yourself, no, I don't want this COVID, I'm not ready to die. And then you ask yourself, why not? And you say, no, I've not done anything good to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said to you that you have lived for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. First question is, why did you not do anything? Nobody stopped you. Why did you not do it? Secondly, is even if you didn't do it, why do you imagine that you are ever going to be able to do something which will be worthy of standing on its own before the justice of Allah? So don't fool yourself, right? Do not fool yourself. The reason you are afraid to die is something else. It's not because you didn't do anything good. Face that, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to correct that. So here, this man says, I will go into Jannah by your justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so merciful, he gives them people chance after chance after chance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, go into Jannah with my mercy and forgiveness. The man says, no, I worked for this. I worked for this, so I want my fair share. I want my fair reward. I want your, by your justice to go into Jannah, not by your mercy. Na'udhu billah. The arrogance of human beings has no limit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him for a third time, go into Jannah with my mercy and forgiveness. The man says, no, I don't want Jannah like this. I will go into Jannah with your justice because I worked for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fine. He says to the malaika, on the scale, put his worship on one pan and put his eyesight on the other pan. Because if you want justice, then you have to pay for what you got. Right? You did something, but you got something else. So if you want to balance your account, then there is a debit side and there is a credit side. You can't have an account which has only one side. So he said, all right, so if you want your account to be balanced, on the debit side, you got eyesight, pay for that. So when they put the eyesight, eyesight alone is worth more than 500 years of worship. Now those of you who want to imagine that picture of mine with these beautiful flowers behind me, now just shut your eyes and just listen to my voice and tell me, is that the same? Do these flowers, these beautiful colors, do they have any value or not? And that's a very simplistic, a very fundamental, very basic way of understanding the value of eyesight. So now the man has got no deeds, zero. So Allah says, now, if you have zero deeds, where do you go? You go into Jahannam. He said, this is justice. Go. My brothers and sisters, stand in front of the mirror, face it, ask yourself, are you ready to die? And if you are not ready to die, ask yourself why. And you will see that the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the truth. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our hearts are filled with hubbud dunya and karahiyatul maut, with love for this dunya and with dislike of death. What is death? Tell me, what is death? I always give this example because in Urdu, the word intiqal is, when we say somebody died, we say inka intiqal ho gaya. Intiqal means muntaqil ho gaya. It means he shifted his location. He moved from this place to that place. We move from this alam of Mushahida, Alamul Shahada, into the Alamul Barzakh, into the world of the Barzakh. That's all it is. It's not cessation of life. It is not annihilation. It is moving from one state of life to another state of life. Worrying about your wife and children and family, for what? Are you their creator? Are you their creator? You are responsible for them. Fulfill that trust while you are there. Give them the best, treat them the best, look after them, do the tarbiyah of your children, your spouse, your wife or husband. Be good to them, be kind to them, be polite to them, honor them. If they make a mistake, forgive it. Don't sit in judgment on them because Allah will sit in judgment on you. Seriously, I mean, it's amazing. People pile up all this, you know, and then they have this whole, it's like the Kitab of the Amal, which is read out the moment you make a mistake. Oh, you know, that day you did this and that day you did this and that day. La halo la khuwata. Your heart is full of garbage. Your heart is full of garbage because all that you want, all that is there in your heart is all the wrong that your spouse did for all the years, and you collected this garbage And every once in a while you are living out this garbage. For what? Believe me, that is all that you will have left when your husband or your wife dies. All the bad memories. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Forgive, forgive, forgive. Because you want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Collect the good stuff. Collect the good stuff. And say, my husband was like this, my wife was like this, good, good, good. And if somebody says, how come your husband and your wife never made a mistake? Oh, they made mistakes. But I also made mistakes. So I remember my mistakes. Don't collect garbage. Right? Don't collect garbage. Some of you may have noticed in this video, a garbage truck came, drove past at the back here. If I tell you, what is your dream car, would you want to buy a garbage truck? Dream car, garbage truck. You can buy them. So Rasulullah said, "Wahan, hubbud dunya, love of this dunya. By all means, appreciate it. Subhanallah, I mean, there is, you know, I won't say there is nobody because there are plenty of people. But I'm one of those who appreciates the beauty of this creation that Allah created. For me, nothing gives me more happiness than to be sitting out in the bush or out in a garden or out in some natural environment, listening to sounds of birds and animals. I mean, the mic is not powerful enough to pick up all that, because I can hear several birds behind me. There's a whole family of sparrows here, which is going up and down in that. If you see that the hanging pot over my head, that's a fuchsia, and in that fuchsia, a pair of doves, they raised two sets of chicks this summer. Now they've all flown away, so there's nobody there, but the nest is still there. And as I was starting this video, I heard a coyote calling out. And nothing gives me more pleasure than that. But alhamdulillah, every time I think of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there even a comparison? Is there even a comparison? You're afraid of death, you don't want to die. You know what that means? It means you do not want to meet Allah. If you really do not want to meet Allah, ask yourself, what does that say about your iman? I want to meet Allah. I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, right now as I am speaking to you. If Allah wills, because I am speaking about the greatness and glory of my Rabb. And if He takes me in that state, there is nothing that I want more dearly than that. But I will go when my time comes to go. But there is absolutely nothing on the face of this earth which will, inshallah, delay me even by a microsecond. There is absolutely nothing on the face of this earth. Even though Allah has given me a beautiful life, I love everything in my life. I have no complaints, alhamdulillah. Yet there is not one single thing in my life. There is not one single person. There is not one single thing or possession that will hold me back, inshallah, even by a microsecond when the time comes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is more beautiful than everyone I know. He is worth more than everything I have or I will ever have, including Jannah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannatul Firdaus. But just looking at my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu makes that Jannatul Firdaus like nothing. My brothers and sisters, kindle that love for Allah in your heart. Kindle the love for Allah in your heart. This is what distinguishes us as Muslims. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ قَالَ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. Allah said, and the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. over and above everyone and everything else. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we stop loving Allah, then these two things fill our hearts. Because the heart has to be filled with the love of something. This is the nature of the heart. This is the nature of your heart. The heart is a receptacle for love. Nothing else. So you love Allah or you love Ghairullah. The only two. There is Allah and there is that which is not Allah, which is the rest of creation. So you love Allah or you love that which is not Allah. Decide. And when you start loving that, then karahiyatul maut is the result of that. Because what is maut? Intiqal. As I said, moving from here to there. Now if I love this place so much, then obviously I don't want to move from here to anywhere else. Because I'm already in the place that I love the most. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Hubbud dunya and karahiyatul maut is a sign of a disease which is even worse. And that is a lack of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The one who loves Allah, his heart is filled with the glory and majesty of Allah, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which automatically brings with it the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings with it the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu I want to finish with this, in the Battle of Uhud. In the thick of the fighting, he's fighting and fighting and fighting, he's exhausted and he stands behind, there's a rock and he stands there and he's taking rest for a few minutes. He pulls out, there's a little packet in his pocket in which there are a few dates. He pulls that out, he starts to eat a date and he says, Subhanallah, this date is going to delay my meeting with Allah. This date is going to delay my meeting with Allah. He throws the packet of dates, goes back into battle, and he dies fighting. Fairy tale, right? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Where have we reached? Today when we look at the world, and we see this is happening to Muslims, that's happening to Muslims, these are the people who are oppressing Muslims, those are the people who are trying to do this and that to the Muslims, and you blame this one, and you blame that one, and you blame that. Please, go and stand and look in the mirror and ask yourself one question. That question is, do you want to meet Allah? Please notice, I'm not saying, you will meet Allah, whether you like to meet Allah or not, you will meet Allah. And you will meet Allah when you want, but when He wants. I'm asking, do you want to meet Allah? And if the answer is no, I don't want to meet Allah, correct that. Forget everything else. Correct that. And the way to correct that is, remove all the garbage from your heart. All the garbage of the love of this dunya and the people of this dunya and the things of this dunya, remove this, clean it from your heart. And what is the test of that? The test of that is that the love of Allah will come, and with the love of Allah, the desire to meet Allah will come. And when that happens, automatically, karahiyatul maut will go away. Because maut is the name of the doorway. Maut is the name of the doorway. How can you hate the doorway when you are dying to go through it? How can you hate the doorway when you would like to go through it? Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. This is the meaning of wahan. We ask Allah to clean our hearts of wahan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live this life in a way that pleases Him jalla jalalu. We ask Allah to make us the most influential, the most beneficial, the most appreciated people in the world. My brother and sister, there is only one thing to do. Fulfill the purpose for which you were sent, which is kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people and you were sent for the benefit of them. Become beneficial to the people. That's it, period. If you and I become beneficial to the people, then at an individual level, and if all of us together become beneficial to the people, then at a collective level, we will be the most appreciated. And the minute you become the most appreciated, then people will look after you. Nobody will attack you. Nobody will do anything to harm you because you are appreciated. Today, people are doing all of this because we are not appreciated. And we are not appreciated because we have stopped being beneficial. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become beneficial. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with His hub, with His muhabbat, with His love. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with a desire to meet Him, Jalla Jalalu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the love of everything of this dunya from our hearts. We will appreciate it, we thank Him for what He has given us, but we don't love it. We love Him, Jalla Jalalu. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives according to the blessed sunnah of His Habib, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.